Hey, Al Scott here for Whole Food Multicomplete at WholeFoodComplete.com. Whole Food Multicomplete is an entire supplement program in one bottle containing 100% RDA of vitamins and minerals, plus live probiotics, digestive enzymes, antioxidant herbs, energy nutrients, and more. It's made in America using real foods and live probiotics. No chemical synthetics. It's soy-free, gluten-free, and independently tested and verified. They're so sure you'll love it, they're taking 20% off your first order with coupon code Scott Horton. Satisfaction is guaranteed at WholeFoodComplete.com.
All right, y'all, welcome back. Hey, I got Tom Engelhardt on the line. Tom Editor. Tom Dispatch. He has lots of names. They all start with Tom. He's at TomDispatch.com, and virtually everything he writes or publishes gets reproduced at antiwar.com as well. I guess about, you know, maybe 10% or less, 5% is... you know, different topic, too far off topic to run, but mostly we run pretty much everything at antiwar.com. That would be original.antiwar.com/Engelhardt. And of course, Tom Dispatch is also where Nick Turse is the executive editor, and he's the single best journalist on America's invasion of Africa. And they got a whole, hell, half my guests come from essays published at TomDispatch.com. And I'm very happy to have you back on the show, Tom. Welcome.
Hey, Scott. Glad to be here from Hysteria Central on the east coast of the United States, you know, inside the Terror Dome where the American way of life is going down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I didn't realize you were a Public Enemy fan. Very good. Listen, so you have a new book. The book is called Shadow Government. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, back in 1964, there were two journalists when I was a kid who published a book called Invisible Government. And it was a shocker at the time. They said there was a government inside the United States government that was unaccountable to the president, and it was a big bestseller at the time. You know, so there's a long history here, but of course, since 9/11, our, and I put our in quote, our government, in the George W. Bush era, and then in President Obama's so-called sunshine era, has become ever less accountable for the things it does, particularly its crimes in our country and in the world. It's become ever more secretive, and it's expected that that citizens will that your government will quote protect you, but you should know nothing whatsoever about what it's doing. And so basically, you know, we have functionally a shadow government. I mean, we have a global surveillance network that would have been the envy of totalitarian states of the 20th century who could only do this sort of thing for their own citizens but didn't have the technology to do it for the world. You know, we have, I was just writing about it the other day, 17 interlocking intelligence agencies, forget the military or anything else, just intelligence agencies, all overlapping, all functionally doing similar things at the cost of the open cost of $68 billion and who knows how much else lurking somewhere or other, you know, all of whom, you know, are less able than you and I, Scott, as far as I can tell, in cumulative advice to the president to actually offer a reasonable, actionable view of our world. It's been quite a performance, you know, in the last 13 years. And, you know, I that's what I write about in Shadow Government. I mean, its subtitle is Surveillance, Secret Wars, and a Global Security State in a Single Superpower World. And that kind of sums up our strange world today where, you know, we Americans, I mean, since Vietnam, I mean, the history of America is in some way the history of the demobilization of American citizens, the ending of the citizen army, and so on and so forth. And today, all that's left of our link to the world and in some aspects to our government is this endless sense of hysteria about supposed terrorist plots that are going to take us down and that provide the basis for building an ever bigger version of what I've called the shadow government, but I won't go on.
Mm. Well, you will, but you got to let me get in here somewhere so
I can
direct
in,
the
Scott.
Conversation a little. But no,
exactly.
Listen, I'm all about what you say. But so my question is along the lines of stupidity or the plan. You know, when I was a kid, I mostly got interested in politics from a much more kind of centralized control view where all of this seeming chaos was really a grand design and blah, blah, blah. And yet now it seems like, no, really, it's just an imperial court of complete chaos where the reason that none of the policies make sense is because the policies are all just a mishmash of what different corrupt interests want. And we'd actually probably be better off with some table of skull and bonesmen who actually have a veto power over just how crazy the policy is going to be. On, for example, backing Al-Qaeda men against Assad for the last 3 years straight in front of everybody in broad daylight.
Yes, you know, I guess what I would say, I'm always struck by this because when people read Shadow Government, they'll see I am not in the normal sense a conspiracy monger at all, and I'm always struck. You know, I get letters at Tom Dispatch regularly from people who say, oh, my God, didn't you realize, you know, the Osama bin Laden raid was a conspiracy, 9/11 was a good blah, 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 blah. And, I think that the government... You know, that shadow government is an incredibly functioning system. It's not in the normal sense, I think, a set of conspiracies at all. I agree with you. But what I would say is that in some weird way, you know, what we think of out here as failures, and they are failures, they're grotesque failures. You know, the failure of, say, the American military, the most powerful in the world, you know, with I don't have my numbers here, but, you know, I don't know, more money goes into the U.S. military than the top 12 other militaries combined. I'm making that up, but it's close enough.
And they're all our allies except Russia and China.
Exactly. But despite that the inability of, say, that military to do a single thing in the world since 9/11 that actually worked by Washington's own goals, you know, it doesn't matter if you're talking about Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, whatever, or the present situation, which you know is going to be a catastrophe. I mean, the present bombing situation. Despite all that, you know, in some ways, it's a system that thrives on failure. I mean, it's very interesting. I just wrote a piece at Tom Dispatch called "Failure," you know, "Success is Failure," or vice versa, because, you know, I mean, 9/11 was the beginning of. I mean, it was the first and greatest example of this. That is, 9/11 had an intelligence level was a colossal failure, you know, and the result of that failure was the largest explosion of building in every sense of. You know, American intelligence. I mean, you know, these scores of new intelligence headquarters. I mean, billions of dollars into it, and almost every person who might have been accountable for what happened on 9/11 was actually, in some sense, you know, most of the nobody was fired. They were some were promoted, some were given awards, like say George Tenet, et cetera. And ever since. What we've known, at least in our bones, is that every failure actually spurs, you know, greater building of this structure. So that, I mean, if you just take the present, you know, the most recent thing that's in the headlines, and it's been a field day for every cartoonist on earth, which is the intruder with a pocket knife, the PTSD intruder with a pocket knife who managed to make it all the way through the White House. You know, we know the upshot of this before we begin, which is, you know, they will have to bolster the Secret Service in some sense. They'll have to keep you farther from the White House. You know, it'll be a little more like the Kremlin or whatever.
Yeah, quicker shoot to kill orders.
Right? Yeah.
When
whatever.
All this guy needed was a good stiff elbow to the jaw or whatever, and they would have had him. But instead, now they're going to kill other people to make up for this.
Yeah, it wasn't. He was tackled by, you know, he was tackled by an off-duty guy who just happened to see him. So, you know, yes, I think that's quite true. But there is some way in which each failure leads to the next step of the institutionalizing.
Exactly. Well, see, this is why I was such a conspiracy theorist when I was a little kid, because I understood this immediately, and I just assumed that, of course, all the people in charge understand this, and that's why they screw up on purpose all the time. Yeah. And that's why the truthers do have a point that, boy, with the head of the CIA's hair on fire, they sure weren't looking when those planes came out of the clear blue sky.
They weren't.
And so, I mean, I'm not saying, and of course the way they exploited it, they might as well have done it for as cynically as they exploited it to get their extra wars and everything else, but all I'm saying is, it's possible, Tom, that there are people in government who figured out what you figured out about how they thrive from failure. But anyway, we got to take this break, but we'll be right back with Tom Englehart from TomDispatch.com in just a second. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. I'm on the line with Tom Englehart. We're talking about government failing upwards, especially the national security state. I was going to say, Tom, welcome to libertarian economics. This is the thing. Government has a monopoly, and whenever they fail, like making more people poor, they succeed. Making more people stupid, they succeed. Making the roads more dangerous, they succeed. Failing entirely to stop 24 real-ass Al-Qaeda guys in the country from training up on airplane piloting and crashing them into buildings, they do better. Robert Higgs, the great, highly credentialed libertarian economist, has a book called Crisis and Leviathan, where he describes the ratchet effect, where every time there's a crisis, government gains in power, and then you could even paraphrase James Madison here somewhere. The power never quite goes back to what it was before when the crisis abates. And so that's the turning of the ratchet. It just gets tighter and tighter.
Yeah.
And of course,
yeah,
they know this. And I'm not some true believer kook, like I said. On the other hand, it was obvious to me, and I was just a kid in the 1990s, that the cocaine lords of South America are a very poor stand-in for the Soviet Union, and that they're working on ginning up a war on terrorism.
Yeah.
That's what Bill Clinton
called it, starting
in 1996. Yeah. They had the Council on Foreign Relations Commission to create a Department of Homeland Security to protect us all from Osama bin Laden before Bush even took office. They called it the war on terrorism. I remember Covert Action Quarterly had a excellent piece. I even ended up interviewing the guy years later of all about the creation of Homeland Security that I read in 1998. So, you know, it was pretty obvious that whether or not 9/11 happened, they want to go to war in the Middle East. They wanted to go back. And that was the real 9/11 plot, of course, was make the American people believe Saddam did it. That was the real conspiracy.
That's true, actually.
And they wanted to get over there and get back to war and have an excuse to sell more Lockheed products, right? And to do what Ariel Sharon wants.
I actually wish that there were a few more libertarians in Congress right now, because one of the things that strikes me about the, I'm always struck about the Republicans, which is, you know, they always talk about small government, but, you know, here we have, you know, it's the thing I happen to be writing about lately. You could do it about other things, but here we have these 17 interlocking intelligence outfits. Now, if you had 17 interlocking outfits dealing with highway safety, you know, the protecting Americans from highway deaths, say, and there were 400,000 odd of those since 9/11, the Republicans would have gone after that structure with a meat cleaver. You know, I mean, you would have done the realistic thing, which is, I mean, because it's kind of madness. So, I mean, forget what they're doing. 17 intelligence outfits. I mean, you assumedly could, you know, whoever you were and whatever your politics were, you could logically axe 15 of them and downsize the other two. And I've always believed that you could actually take, you know, the government could take a couple of $1 million instead of billions of dollars, hire a bunch of smart people to work purely with open source document stuff in our world. I mean, open source stuff, it doesn't have to be documents, and you would end up with a far more actionable view of what to do in the world than they get out of 17, you know, huge, incompetent, disastrous, interlocked agencies. So,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
right, you know, I only wish that the Republicans, non-libertarians, would stop bowing down before the truly oppressive powers of big government. So that's me. As far as, I think on the other subject, you're quite right. I mean, of course, the stunning moment in our lives, in a way, was given the story that had been going on for several hundred years, which was great powers and then greater powers and finally two superpowers facing off against each other in a world of utter power concentration, was the leaving of the United States as the only power. you know, one superpower in 1990, 1991. I mean, Washington was stunned. They never, the people in Washington, typical of intelligence, they never thought the Soviet Union was going to go. They didn't predict it. They didn't have any idea when it went, you know, and they were stunned almost for a decade in their own fashion, as you say, and they started looking around a landscape which to this day remains remarkably compared to previous times, remarkably without enemies. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, scattered jihadists and whatever, but you know, very small scale. If you went back to 1970, and or 80s and said to any American, hey, look, you know, the Soviet Union's going to be gone, and the only things left are a few things we called rogue powers, a few rickety states, you know, I mean, North Korea, whatever, and a bunch of jihadists in the backlands of the world. I mean, people would have gotten down on their knees and thank God or something, you know? I mean, it's quite extraordinary. I mean, we're in an amazing period of enemylessness, but you would not know it in this country, where, as exactly as you say, they have successfully, I mean, even to themselves. And the one thing I would add, it was on our conspiracy discussion earlier, the one thing I would add is that ruling groups classically tend to manipulate populations. But before they do that, they manipulate themselves, because it's so much easier to manipulate people if you kind of believe it or half believe it yourself. So, you know, even on the Saddam stuff, you know, I mean, you look at Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, after the invasion of Iraq, when they sent those teams in to look, we have accounts of him just getting after we had taken Baghdad, of American teams going into Iraq and not funding weapons of mass destruction. I mean, they knew that he didn't have a fully functioning nuclear program or whatever, I'm sure, but they thought they were going to find something, at least some old stuff from the previous wars, and they couldn't find the damn stuff. And we have inside accounts, he would get angrier and angrier. He was throwing stuff back at people, saying this is not possible, because these people, they had convinced themselves of what they wanted to do. And I think that's typical of ruling groups. They go through a kind of process of almost like an auto-hypnotic process before they turn and manipulate us, which they do. But conspiracy theorists tend to think that they are simply, that they themselves aren't part of this thing. They're just manipulating.
And part of that is because they're such bastards. I mean, again, back to 9/11, Dick Cheney might as well have killed those 3,000 people himself, as far as how willing he was to exploit their deaths to go and declare war on 60 countries.
I mean,
what kind of a leap is it to say that he did do it, that he arranged with Bandar to do it or something? Because why the hell not? He would have killed us all to do whatever he wanted.
Yeah. You know? By the way, 60 countries is by some standards an underestimate, because the CIA, about a week or two after, presented to Bush a program that they called, I think, the Worldwide Attack Matrix, in which they identified 80 countries supposedly with terrorist outfits. I mean, this was like ridiculous, but I mean, it's true. We declared a global war, and of course, a lot of people in that world were they wanted to call it World War IV, World War III being the Cold War. You know, it didn't really stick, but that was the urge. So you're quite right. Yes. I mean, the great comment was Donald Rumsfeld, you know, within what? He was standing more or less in the ruins of the Pentagon, you know, and he turned to his aides and said, sweep it all up. You know, and it was sweep it all up. It had to do with Iraq. You know, I mean, he immediately turned to the issue of Saddam Hussein, you know, and the thought was there instantly. We wanted to take this guy down. Now's our chance. I think it's quite clear. You know, we had one of his aides wrote down notes, which we have on what he said almost immediately after. And there was that classic line, sweep it all up. I think it was, I'm sitting here without my, you know, I can't obviously look, but it was something like sweep it all up. It was. And then it was something like
things
sweep it all up.
Related and not.
Related and not, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and you thought, boy, you
well,
can't.
Well, all the neocons were writing in the newspaper that same, you know, the month of September, that, oh, yeah, Iraq's next. William Sapphire said, it's
absolutely
the big mo. Take the momentum and run with it and hit Saddam now or whatever. I mean, it was clear.
Yep.
We're going to lie you into war starting now. Get ready.
Absolutely.
But so now let me ask you about, okay, I understand that these guys believe what they need to believe for the reasons they need to, and they have all these weird perverse incentives and this and that, but I'm just little old me, and yes, I make it a habit to talk to Patrick Coburn as often as I can get him on without making him hate me, and I read everything he writes, and so he was talking about a year ago last spring, okay, almost a year and a half ago now, Tom, that Geez, the Iraqi army is pulling back from Mosul, and they're pulling back from Bakuba and some of these places. And then right around that same time, Baghdadi broke off from Golani and said he's naming his group the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. And so I was talking with Coburn on the show, and I wrote in the Future Freedom Foundation magazine for April. I wrote in April of 2013 that this, because it's the lawless, uncontrolled western part of Iraq, already de facto independent from Baghdad, and the terrorist-controlled east of Syria here, this is the rise of the Islamo-fascist caliphate that Bush and Paul Wolfowitz and them would have had us believe in back then. I was saying that almost a year and a half ago. And then Obama's on TV saying, you know, we were taken by surprise, everybody. I don't know what happened. So my question to you is that really right? Do you think that they just could not possibly imagine that by backing al-Nusra in de facto, in effect, by way of a couple degrees of separation, yada, 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 backing the Mujahideen in Syria for the last 3 years could blow up in their face like this? I mean, how could they doubt that? Like when these are the Zarqawiites, man. These are madmen.
I think the like this is the key thing here. Yes, I think it probably was hard for them to imagine it would blow up like this. But yes, you know, I mean, you can go back even farther. I mean, one of the things we now know is that al-Baghdadi and the other people who are basically running this war, I mean, who are they? First of all, I mean, he came out of al-Qaeda in Iraq, which wasn't in Iraq, of course, until we invaded. But he was put in the U.S. military prison, Camp Buka, and he was put in there with, among many other people, a bunch of former officers from the Iraqi army that we had disbanded, which was undoubtedly, I mean, forgetting politics, forgetting anything, was simply the stupidest act anybody, any invader could have done, having taken a country, which was to take a full army that actually could fight, unlike the army that we trained up, and disband it and throw them all out on the street without jobs. I mean, if you want to start an insurgency, start. That's how to do it. So basically, they all went, their West Point was an American military prison. It's where they met. It's where they clearly, you know, honed their ideas. They came out functionally together, and the rest happened. I mean, ISIS is in many ways our creation, not just in terms of the acts of the last year or so. I mean, without the invasion of Iraq, without what we did in Iraq, without the disbanding of that army, without so many acts, it's literally inconceivable.
Right. I saw a Twitter friend said the other day, what if, it was kind of in all capitals and stuff, hey, what if ISIS are the moderates? Right?
Well, that's the other thing. You know, be careful what you wish for. I mean, if the U.S. were successful in destroying this group, which, by the way, is such an extreme and sectarian group, that and with so many potential enemies in the region, that even without us, I think it would sooner or later burn itself out. But don't assume that they're the worst we could get. They're not. They're not at all. And by the way, I also agree. I mean, Coburn is the single best unembedded reporter in the Middle East. I mean, he's been fantastic for years and years and years, and I've been following him for years, and actually he's written for Tom Dispatch. So, and by the way, I want to remind your readers, since I know that we're getting there, you know, pick up my book, Shadow Government.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to stop right there because we're already into the break. They can't even hear us now. But the people listening to the archive later will be able to hear the very end of this interview. The live audience heard the super majority of it, so that's pretty good.
All right.
But thanks very much for coming back on the show. You're really great at radio, and I want you to know you have an open invitation. I will go ahead and try to get you on as often as you write articles, so beware.
I will try and do it more often. You know me, but I will try.
All right, good deal. Thanks, Tom.
Bye. Thanks, Scott.
See ya. All right, everybody, that is the heroic Tom Englehart from tomdispatch.com. He's at original.antiwar.com/Englehart. TomDispatch.com, and the new book is Shadow Government, and before that, of course, Mission Unaccomplished, The End of Victory Culture, The World According to Tom Dispatch, The American Way of War, Terminator Planet, oh, that one's Nick Terse, oh, The United States of Fear was the one before this. Very good stuff. TomDispatch.com, we'll be right back. Hey, Al, Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. This nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone. We are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop. Which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the monthly journal of the Future of Freedom Foundation. Edited by libertarian purist Sheldon Richman, The Future of Freedom brings you the best of our movement. Featuring articles by Richman, Jacob Hornberger, James Bovard, and many more, The Future of Freedom stands for peace and liberty and against our criminal world empire and Leviathan state. Subscribe today. It's just $25 per year for the back pocket size print edition, $15 per year to read it online. That's The Future of Freedom at fff.org/subscribe. Peace and freedom. Thank you. Hey, y'all, Scott here. First, I want to take a second to thank all the show's listeners, sponsors, and supporters for helping make this show what it is. I literally couldn't do it without you. And now I want to tell you about the newest way to help support the show. Whenever you shop at Amazon.com, stop by ScottHorton.org first. And just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page. That way the show will get a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. It won't cost you an extra cent. And it's not just books. Amazon.com sells just about everything in the world, except cars, I think. So whatever you need, they've got it. Just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page at ScottHorton.org or go to ScottHorton.org/Amazon.